It's big announcement time.
Drum roll, please.
We are going on tour.
Just, yay!
Northern News, live around the North.
Of course it's around the North.
We're not doing any Southern dates on this tour.
No way. We are going to the big ones, our big ones in the North. We're going Sheffield.
23rd of June.
We're going Hull.
26th of June.
We're going Leeds.
27th of June.
And we're rounding it off in Manchester.
On the 28th of June.
What a week.
Oh my God. We've done some live shows in Edinburgh and London. And we love them so much.
They're so much fun.
We do little fun headlines. There's slides. There's visuals.
Oh, it's brilliant. We can't wait to do it. And we can't wait to see you there. We'll see you in person. You'll see us in person.
You'll see our faces. You'll see whatever attempt at merch I've cobbled together in a shed.
So get your tickets now for the Northern News live tour at plosive.co.uk. That is plosive.co.uk.
We're going to get chunked out of our beans.
Let's do it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And welcome to Northern News, a podcast with me, Ian Smith.
And me, Amy Gledhill. I'm from a lovely little place called Hull.
And I'm from the thinking man's Pontefract, Ghoul.
And we've been living in London, much to our family's shame, for too long.
So, we're going to be trawling the newspapers to find out all the stories we've missed from the North.
This is Northern News. Bonjour, it's Amy.
hello. But I think that's just like Danish, Norway. They just say hello.
Yeah.
Instead of hello. I forgot German.
Yeah. What? How could you? Come on,
but
Ian.
That's what I, in my head, I was going, oh, I'll do the German. And then I was like, what's German for hello? I must know it.
Hello.
No. What is German for hello?
I think it's hello.
Fucking what a start to the podcast.
It is, because I remember a song I learned off the television.
Oh, yes,
in
it
German.
Is.
Hallo, ich bin Amy. Du 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 du. Wie heißt du?
What?
Du 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 du.
Ich bin Amy was a song.
No, you put your own name in
it. Oh, I thought that song's worked out perfectly for you.
Wie alt bist du? Du 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 du. Bist du wir? Bist du wir? Bist du sieben, boo 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 boo.
Bist du? It's a German song about gravy.
Yeah.
But Amy, come on.
Come on.
What have you been up to this week? Can we please just, let's breeze through this pod.
Well, I've got some news.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and it sort of involves you.
Oh, no.
A bit. My brother has done our family tree.
Oh.
And it turns out on my dad's side,
we're related.
We are, yeah. One of my, I think maybe my great grandfather. It's not that far away. Mm-hmm. Very much born in Ghoul.
Oh.
So I'm a real ghoul head myself.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm going to make that my entire identity. I'm going to say I'm the only comedian from Ghoul.
But Amy, please don't take this away from me. That's all I've got.
I'm going to say I'm comedian from Ghoul. Ghoul is my heritage.
If I met like a new comedian, they're like, I'm from Ghoul as well, I'm doing comedy. I would, oh, nice. And I'd give them a hug and I'd whisper in their ear, you fuck off out of this industry. You get the fuck out of here. There's only room for one comedian from Ghoul.
Yeah, so I'm from Ghoul. The other ones are Norway and German.
Oh.
And there was a guy who was in prison on, I think, my mum's side, because he did a pretty bad thing, actually. Like, I was like, oh, wow, I can't believe I've come from this stock.
Yeah.
He stole a woman's coat at the theatre.
Disgusting.
Get him locked up.
I hope those genes have been sort of whittled out
me
of your
too.
System.
Yeah, me too. No, I genuinely was like, oh, wow, he went to the theatre.
Very cultured.
I was like, that is pretty cultured. Yeah. And then one of the ancestors, and bear in mind, these don't go far back, maybe like great, 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 yeah. Maybe that's the most. One of them had come over from Germany. I think he'd been doing all right in Germany. By the time he died quite old, at like in his 70s, but he was in a workhouse in Hull. And I thought, oh God, imagine being in a workhouse in your 70s in Hull. And you're not even born there.
And he was living the life, he was living the Bavarian dream previously.
Yeah, maybe he was a prince or something. Mm. And then came to Hull and it all went wrong.
The story of many.
The story of many.
Yeah.
But he was classed as a pauper.
Mm.
I've just never seen that sort of like actually written down and connected me. I've always felt it in my roots.
Is pauper short for poor person?
No, is it?
Pauper. Pauper.
But then you could say it could be short for poor purse function or poor poise.
Yeah, no, I guess you're right.
You can't just say
it could be short for poor purse function.
But you can't say pauper. So, oh no, I guess you can. Yeah, that does really work.
No, you're right. You're right, Amy. I think it's short for poor purse action or whatever you said. Fucking hell.
Ian, what have you been doing this week, please?
Well, I want to tell you about... So I did a bit of filming for...
Oh, right. So we're going straight from me saying my ancestors all died poor in prison and in a workhouse and on Bleak Farm. And you're like, I've been filming this week, actually.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. It makes a change for me to have something going on in my career. Usually I'm just like, I got some shoes. I remembered a thing. And I have a routine about spilling wine bottles. And we were doing a sketch of that. So they kind of add like characters or something.
Yeah.
But one thing confused me. So there's a scene that has three essays, which you maybe used to call extras.
Yeah, supporting artists.
Supporting artists.
Yeah.
And these three guys, after I've emptied the bottles, one of them comes over and they hand me a certificate. Take that. The other one gives me some flowers. I take that. The other one hands me a bottle of wine. I take that. That's what they're supposed to do.
Right.
The guy handed over the bottle of wine. It wasn't enough to like ruin the scene, but I found it baffling. So he passed me the wine. I put my hand on it. He wouldn't let go of the wine for, I'd say, 4 seconds, which is feels like ages. And it wasn't like he's gripping it, but I would go to take it and his hand would move with me. I was like looking at him like, just give me the bottle, man. And like eye contact, look at me, another like 2 long seconds, and then he would let go and he was ready. I was like, that was weird, but maybe I made it quite clear as I was trying to get the bottle out of his hand. Second take, she holds on to it for 4.
No.
So in his head, he's very clearly gone, I'm holding on to this bottle of wine. And I couldn't work out why. But also, I would seem like a dickhead if I was like, can we get this guy to hand over the bottle quicker? Or to say to him, I think it's too mad a thing to be like, mate, I think you're holding on to that bottle for far too long. But yeah, about 3 or 4 takes, the guy just won't let go of the bottle.
Was he like also looking directly into the camera like Keith Chegwin in Extras?
No, I'll tell you where he was looking, Amy. My eyes.
Was he?
So that's what I've been up to this week, trying to prize a bottle of wine.
Trying to make sure this person who has no doubt been up the same time as you, travelled, had to be in costume makeup, sat somewhere probably quite cold all day, he's on screen one time only, doesn't have any lines, you've gone, I want you to be on screen for no time.
Speed it up! On and off camera like a blur! I don't want people to be. I want people to have to pause it to be able to see you.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so you can't say anything, can you? You just look like a diva.
Yeah, I don't think
could
be
someone tell the supporting artists to do what I want them to do?
excuse me, the supporting artist is trying to get 2 seconds on screen. Yeah. 2 of my seconds, I think you'll find.
Disgusting.
Oh, it's tough. I think that's a really tough job being an essay.
chunked out my bean.
Amy.
Yeah.
What's been going on up north?
Up north? Well, I'm taking you to Cumbria. And I'm going to be honest, it's the sort of story, it's a sort of genre of story I would normally scooch on past.
Oh.
It's a sort of scientific story.
Oh. This is going to go over my head.
Well, that's what I thought. I was like, I can't, I'm not going to be able to grasp this. And I thought, no, come on, we can do this. Our listeners are smart. We can at least try.
Yes.
And bring our intellect up for our listeners.
Sit down, everyone.
Sit down,
it's
everyone.
Coming.
It's coming. The headline is this, right? Underwater rocks to be mapped for CO2 storage.
Yes.
No. Yes. Does that make perfect sense to
mm-hmm.
you? Yeah. Would you like to explain it?
So they're going to map these rocks.
Yeah.
And the rocks are under the water line, I believe. And let's just see where the CO2 is.
Yeah, I don't...
Let's see where it is.
I'm not convinced you get it. But basically, there is... So it says, underwater gas fields off Cumbria... Gas fields.
Mm-hmm.
Already I'm like, this is a world I didn't know existed. A gas field.
A field of gas. Good luck ploughing that with a tractor. Gas.
You'll remember me when the west wind moves among the fields of gas. You don't hear of them. I've heard of fields of barley, fields of wheat.
Yes.
The killing fields.
The killing fields.
Yeah. I've never heard of fields of gas.
Barley, wheat, killing. Some of the grains are going to Cheerios, aren't they? The five grains of Cheerios. Barley, killing, wheat, gas.
Annette Fielding.
Yes, and Annette Fielding.
And Annette Fielding. So underwater gas fields. Also, underwater gas fields.
It's pissing me off, this story.
We're three words in and I couldn't be more confused.
Underwater gas fields?
Yeah. But what? they say it so like, oh yeah, you all know the underwater gas fields.
Mm.
Like, it might as well say like pavement on street. Like, they're so blasé about it. Do you know what I mean? Oh yeah, yeah. Where was that? Oh, it's in the underwater gas fields.
As soon as you said they might as well say, I was like, I wonder what's coming
out
of here.
Me too. Me too.
Pavement on street.
No, underwater gas fields off Cumbria. Just off Cumbria.
Off it.
Just off it. Do you know Cumbria? You just go off Cumbria to the underwater gas fields.
Well, I guess gas is not on Cumbria because it's in the air.
No, because this
Am
is
I
underwater.
Getting this right? Oh, fucking hell.
Come on, we can do this. We can absolutely do this.
All right.
Here we go. I think if I get to the end of the sentence, we'll understand.
Mm-hmm.
Underwater gas fields off Cumbria are to be mapped for their potential to store millions of tons of carbon dioxide produced by industry.
For fuck's sake.
So these gas fields, which I think might be rocks, underwater rocks, are going to be mapped, which is, I presume, like looked at, sussed out. So let me change it to what I think it is.
That's the definition of mapping something. Look, so you looked at it and you've drawn it down.
You've sussed it out, right.
Yeah.
So I think it's meant to be, let me change it. Wet rocks near Cumbria have been sussed out to chuck in loads of CO2.
Yeah, well, I get that.
I get that.
You've sussed out that these rocks can have CO2 chucked in them.
Yeah.
And you want to see to what degree... The CO2 can be whacked in them.
Yeah.
And they're not in Cumbria. They're just off it.
They're just off it. Not in Cumbria, for God's sake.
Job
Don't
done.
Think that.
What's the benefit of this? Why are they doing it?
Because, Ian, CO2...
yeah?
...needs to be stored, apparently, somewhere.
Yeah.
You can't put it in a bin.
No.
You've got to put it in a rock.
Go and put it in a fucking rock.
If I've said it once, I've said it a million times.
Yeah.
I'll say, where do you think you're putting that CO2, mister? And I'm putting it in the general waste. I'll say, no, you're bloody not. You'll take that CO2 off Cumbria and you put it in a bloody rock if you know what's good for
you'll
you.
You'll take that gas and you'll put it, and it's easy to do this, to put it in to a solid object.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine if you had to put your recycling in a rock.
Under the sea.
Just like grinding it onto the rock.
I don't fully know.
Amy, I hate this story. I hate it. I hate that you brought it in.
Right, let me show you. There's a diagram, look.
Oh, piss off.
So we've got the...
Oh, there's like holes in the rocks.
Is there?
Yeah, what do you think that light bit is?
No, that's the rock.
There's
oh, yeah. No,
bits
it's like
of porous
a straw.
Storage space.
It's like a straw. So the industry is a natural gas-burned power station. Mm-hmm. And the carbon dioxide goes under the sea in what looks to me like a big straw.
Yes.
And the straw goes into the rock 22 miles off the coast of Barrow-in-Furness. And then there's another bit of the diagram that says natural gas, don't say exactly where that's coming from, goes back into, I'm sure this all checks out. I'm sure it does.
Yeah, I don't think it's like a made-up article. If you found one of those old April Fool's Day articles that they put up.
Like, yeah, we're storing carbon dioxide in rocks now. Gosh.
But well, that's good that they're doing that.
I presume it's a good thing.
Okay.
Because carbon dioxide's bad. Not bad. It's not done anything wrong. But I mean, bad for us if we have too much of it, obviously. Yeah. Okay, so it says... work will be carried out to map the fields using ultrasonic waves sent from a ship to give the company a better idea of how it's doing it. No firm in the UK is currently storing CO2 in this way, Dr. Kettlety said, and a big body of evidence would be required before the government can give approval. So it's not been done yet. But this is one of several carbon capture projects announced by the government as part of its pledge to capture and store 20 to 30 million tonnes of CO2 a year by 2030. So I guess we breathe in oxygen, we breathe out CO2,
yeah,
and that needs to go in a rock. I've always said it. Maybe we'll have our own personal rocks that we'll breathe out into.
Yeah. I don't think there's ever been a story on this podcast that's been summarised as precisely and succinctly as this. I still don't know what's happened.
Well, me either,
but I'm glad
really,
it's happening.
Me too, I think
otherwise
I am.
Otherwise there's too much CO2.
Unless it's bad, because, I mean, where does it end? Do you know what I mean? Like,
no.
Well, you can't
I don't
just,
know what you mean.
You can't just put the shit stuff in a rock under the sea, because then eventually all the sea will be junky carbon dioxide rocks. Maybe it's bad for fish. Do we know this?
I guess that's what they need to look into.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so it could be a good thing. It could be a terrible thing. I don't know what our opinion on this is meant to be, but it's...
Quick summary. CO2 is being stored in rocks. Yeah. We don't know why, and we don't know whether it's good or bad. But it's happening in the north.
Off Cumbria. So think on or rejoice.
This hot pot's minging.
Ian.
Yes.
Please tell me you understand your story from the
this
north.
This is a simple, simple story.
Thank Lord.
This is from York. Spending a penny is costing businesses thousands.
What?
Businesses in York say demand for city centre toilet facilities is costing them thousands of pounds a year due to lack of public loos.
There's no public toilets anywhere these days.
These people are saying that people are staying clear of York because they know if they go to York, they have to piss themselves. Because there's one public toilet in York that I remember, and it's scary.
Yeah, they are
And
scary.
The smell of piss, you know you're near that toilet.
Yeah.
Like way before.
Yeah.
You're like, oh.
Yeah.
All right, it's close by.
Yeah. What do you think of the ones that are near Soho? For the people with penises only, they can piss. Basically, it's like a standing
just crop
urinal
up in the street.
Yeah, how do you feel about them?
I don't like them.
No.
I don't like urinals at the best of time.
No.
If I can choose a cubicle, I'm going in a cubicle.
Yeah, yeah.
Why makes do sense. Men just have to get their dicks out next to each other?
No, I understand why they could be useful.
Mm.
I totally get that. But
I guess it's better than
But there is a sort of interesting thing when you're walking past someone and you know they've got their willy out.
Yeah.
Right near you.
And urine's coming.
Urine's coming out of their piss hole. And maybe you make eye contact with them and you think...
Yeah.
But also, like people do need to urinate.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't hold it in. And there should be toilets available.
Some of them have little doors.
Yeah.
Get yourself in a little doored bit.
A little doored bit, yeah. There was a very cool place that I went. It was like a sort of social club full of art students. Very cool. I always find the coolest places have the worst toilets.
Yeah.
Gender neutral, absolutely fine, except the way this was laid out, there was no way to not see the urinal when you were washing your hands.
Oh, okay.
And there's mirrors on two sides. There's nowhere to look. If you look to your left, you're looking directly at the man.
Mm.
If you look forward or to the right, it's in the mirror what's happening with the man, which is worse. And then if you look the other way, you can't really wash your hands because you're facing the wrong way. For me and that guy, it was sort of awkward. And obviously, you know, you're trying not to look, but basically everywhere I turned my eyes, I was just like, I can see it in a different...
It's a hall of dick mirrors.
It's a hall of dick mirrors. It's a hall of dick mirrors. But he couldn't use a cubicle because when he came in, I was in the cubicle.
Yeah. A kaleidoscope of penises.
Oh.
Beautiful in a way.
In a way.
Mesmerising.
If you want to see it.
Mm.
You know, if you're not expecting to see it, it's...
It's a kaleider. It's nope.
It's a kaleider nope of penises.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, Ms. Horner has said... and this is from Browns, which is a sort of upmarket.
Oh, I know Browns shop. In York, yeah.
She says, we don't want to be unwelcoming to people that want to come in and use our facilities, but at the same time, the usage that our toilets gets is too much. Oh, hang on. I thought they were saying there's not enough toilets and people aren't coming. But now this woman from this hoity-toity shop has gone, the common folk are coming in to use our toilets. Fuck off, Miss Honor. Let him piss. What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, I hate this woman now. We have to spend more money on cleaning products and toilet roll. Myself and my colleagues have to go in regularly and unblock toilets and urinals to clear up some quite unpleasant things. What do you mean, quite unpleasant things? I'll tell you what it is, piss and shit. Do you mean quite unpleasant thing? Oh, it's piss and shit. Several thousands of pounds she's spending on toilet roll, apparently.
Do you know what? I'm not on Miss Horner's side, but if I was working somewhere and, you know, signed up to be like a sales assistant or, you know, a stock checker or whatever, and a lot of my job was cleaning up unpleasant things, aka piss and shit, and maybe sick, maybe. I would be like, oh, this isn't... I'm not having a lovely life.
Well, people piss and shit.
They do.
We're not proud of it. But it has to happen. No, I understand. If people are just coming in and they're not even going to buy some of your overpriced shit.
It is very overpriced. Or expensive, we should say. Yeah, it's a very expensive shop.
There's another person here. Jenny Layfield, the chief executive... at York Explore, suggests making a donation when using the library's toilets. Yeah, I wouldn't mind a little contactless 50p.
Yeah, just piss on tap. on the side of the toilet door. Beep, 50p, use the toilet. I think we've solved that problem, actually. Yep. Another solution, have they considered storing the piss in rocks under the sea?
If they haven't, they're fucking stupid.
They're idiots, actually, because that's what we're all doing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where the cloud is.
What, where we store all the data?
Yeah, where I store holiday pics from 2011. Is it in a rock under the sea?
It must be.
Gotta be.
CO2, piss and photos. That's what you put in the rocks.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Oh, we've got a new bog roll factory.
Oh, hello. It's Amy and Ian here, just slipping into the middle to have a little chat with you.
Slipping in the middle of our own podcast.
It's not rude, Ian.
No.
Please, it's not rude. I just want to tell everyone. But if you want a little bit more, you can join our Patreon if you want.
Oh, yeah.
We won't stop you.
Yeah. And there's tears to it.
Oh, yeah.
Tears of joy.
Tears of joy. That's what we should have called them.
Yeah. For £2.50, you're supporting the podcast, you're helping us keep doing this, you're filling yourself and ourselves with a warm glow, the likes of which you will not believe. And you get a monthly bonus episode.
And you get a monthly bonus episode. If you wanna pay fiver, then you get weekly bonus episodes.
Oh, yeah. And all sorts of stuff.
All sorts of stuff.
We're talking all sorts. Discount codes. Little sneaky extra bits. There'll be a bonus Tim Key, that sort of thing. We'll whack them in. People talk for too long.
Sometimes callers will not get off the phone.
Yeah. But we give it to you.
So, yeah, if you're up for that, go to patreon.com/northernnews.
Yes.
Don't shit your kegs.
And now it's time for our special guest, Sophie Hagen, who comes from Copenhagen, a double Hagen. And Copenhagen has 15 Michelin-star restaurants. Sophie, have you ever been to a Michelin-star restaurant? And if so, what did you eat? And if so, was it nice?
I have, but not any in Copenhagen because that's too expensive and I'm not rich. I went to one in Sicily.
Ooh.
And it was fine.
Oh.
It was fine.
Ah, what
they
did
were
you
very
have?
Tiny. I don't know. It was just like fancy, tiny dishes. Mm. There were too many of them and they were too small. At the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that. Go big or go home.
Yeah.
That's what I've said, and I'll say it again.
I'll take an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Oh,
over
yes.
A Michelin star restaurant any day.
Why do they never give Michelin stars to all-you-can-eat buffets? The food's good.
It is good.
What's the problem?
Yeah.
Sophie, I guess Copenhagen is sort of in the middle. I'm just wondering if there's like a divide in Denmark, like there is a north-south divide over here.
This sort of is. There's like a divide. So there's Sjælland, which is like the east bit. And then there's Jutland, which is the west bit. And Jutland is like countryside. And then east is like crime and Copenhagen and like capital. And then there's Fyn in the middle, which is actually where I'm from, which is like no one really cares.
Oh, so you're from like the Midlands of Denmark?
Sure.
Oh, is that... I feel like I've insulted you. Thanks for coming on the pod.
No, I don't know. We've just never phrased it like that before, but I'll take it back to the guys and see what
they
say.
Okay, yeah. I'd be interested to know, actually. You have a story for us from the north, because it's more north than our top north.
It is a story from the north of... It's north of Copenhagen.
Nice.
And it's also north of the north.
Oh,
I think. I'm not quite sure. I'll look at a map. But the place I lived before I moved to Copenhagen is called Farum. And Farum, when I moved there, we moved into this area that was referred to as a ghetto, which is problematic, but it was referred to as that.
Right.
Because it was like 80% immigrants. And it was a great area. It was we had a lovely time there. But the mayor at the time was an absolute hero. So he was like, we don't want anyone to be racist in this town. So we're going to send all the kids and all the elderly people on free holidays to Turkey.
Shut up!
Everyone in Farum who were like, what were we, like 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, went on holiday to Turkey, and so did all the pensioners. Because he was like, I don't want you to see them as like, you need to know the culture, because now we're all going to be part of the same culture. So you all need to get acquainted with each other.
Wow.
Then we also got free computers.
Is this guy money laundering?
It was amazing.
That's incredible.
And then he went to prison for fraud. He had sent a lot
I knew
of
something was going
money.
On.
Yeah. Yeah, it was real bad. He went to prison. He had just, I mean, spent money he didn't have. He had lent money to friends. He had, I mean, everything. He had everything he had done wrong. But everyone loved him because he gave us free holidays.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's like sending Robin Hood to prison.
Literally, when he came back out of prison, people had like petitions to make him a politician again.
Of course they did, because you get holidays and computers. Yeah, yeah.
He's sending everyone off to South Africa.
Like, our politicians now are as bad as that for sure, but we're not getting anything from it. So
yeah, that's the thing. He was. It was like he would. My sister used to work in a grocery store in this town, and he would come into the grocery store, and then he would like buy red wine, which is like the thing he went to prison for, buying like £1,200 bottle of red wine on his company card. But he would buy this red wine, and then he would like wave his credit card and go, don't worry, this time it's my own. And everyone would like laugh and applaud. Like, oh Peter being silly. Like, no one gave a shit that he was just like so corrupt.
There's not many of
like, yay
Peter,
like, crimes you can come out of prison for and be like, don't worry, I'm not going to murder this one. Yeah. He's funny.
We like him.
People were literally just like, yeah, he can have all the wine he wants. Like, let him buy wine on the taxpayers' bills. Like, he's doing great things.
And do you think it helped?
I'd never left Denmark before. We didn't have any money. We wouldn't have been able to afford a computer or a holiday to Turkey. It was great. Yeah, it definitely helped.
Well done, Peter.
Definitely.
Fraud is good.
That's what we've learned. That is what we've learned from Denmark. Fraud is good. Do you miss Denmark / the Midlands of Denmark?
I do a bit. I miss the food. Food is such a comfort thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be good as long as you had it when you were a child.
Yeah, yeah.
It just has the taste of childhood.
So right.
Talking about childhood.
Here we go.
The children of today will be able to read your book in the future.
Ian,
I'm not very good at links.
Ian, that was spectacular. Do not put yourself down.
Okay. Tell us about, this is your second book.
Yes, it's my second book. It's called Will I Ever Have Sex Again? And it's Brilliant. About why people don't have sex when we want to.
This sounds like, and I don't want to take any credit, but it sounds like exactly the sort of conversation we would have had in the car when I was doing your tour support.
That is true. It was definitely something. And also, you are one of the people who have tried to get me to have sex.
Great. You're very welcome.
I've heard from several people that you've tried to sell them on the idea of me as a person in a sexual way.
Gladil the
pimp. And I've been very grateful, and it hasn't worked.
You're sexy. When I've seen somebody who I think you would think is sexy, thinking that you're sexy, I've just tried to put you in a room together. You know?
And you've succeeded.
I have.
And I've made some great friends from that.
Well, there you go. There you go.
I guess it would ruin the book if Amy said, what would happen if Amy set you up with loads of people now? You just had loads of sex.
Oh, that's fine. The book is over. The book has been written.
Oh.
So that's fine.
Oh, that's
Amy,
okay.
Amy, that's fine.
Okay.
Can you hear that?
Amy,
that's
come
fine.
On.
I hear you.
It's time for book three. Non-stop Gledil supported banging.
Book three, the UTIs.
When will I ever stop having sex?
Yeah. Please stop me having sex. So you've got your book and also a tour.
Yes, I'm going on a book stand-up tour.
Love that.
It's a little limited tour of the UK.
The other thing would like to hear about, Sophie, is you have a podcast of your very own.
I do. It's called Help Hole.
Nice.
And it's me and a fellow comedian called Abby Wamba, and we read self-help books and talk about them to try and figure out if we can become better people.
Oh, I love that. Mm.
Some would say I've become an almost perfect person.
Wow. Well, I think you were before, yeah. But that's just my opinion.
Oh, Amy, can we have Toby Carvery again soon?
100%. Any
yeah,
day.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll just fucking sit at home. I love Carvery.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
See you at Toby Carvery. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
Fuck off, I'm trapped.
Amy, what's happening in the hole?
Well, I have actually found a story that I am quite outraged by. The headline is, Wildlife Hospital Expansion That's Urgently Needed Refused After Being Branded Hideous by Nearby Country House Owner. So yet again, the people... The hoity-toit amongst us.
The hoity-toity.
The hoity-toit.
The hoity-toit no pisses.
So there's a wildlife hospital that looks after loads of birds and things like that, and they have plans for a rehabilitation centre in East Yorkshire, and they've put it through twice, being like, please, we need to expand because we've got so many animals that need caring for. And it's been crushed by the owner of nearby Whitehall Country House, who says it would be unsightly.
But he means unsightly just to be like something that isn't my lovely garden.
Yeah.
Something that reminds me there's other people in the world.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. But also in the article, I've realised in the headline and elsewhere, a lot of things are in quotation marks. I'm not really sure why. So wildlife hospital... is in quotation marks, which makes me go, hang on. And urgently needed is in quotation marks.
Yeah, I'm starting to get on the old hoity-toity fella side now.
Yeah, it's strange, but what should bring you back round is that the reason they're objecting to it is because they're claiming the plans would open the floodgates to development in the countryside.
And the last thing we need is housing. Don't build homes near my one huge home. I can't look out of my one huge home without seeing lots of other homes in the distance.
Yeah, you don't want to see any other homes. That's the last thing you want to see from your home. I'd be sick if I saw someone else living near me.
I hate these country manor-owning fuckheads. And if you're listening to this podcast and you own a country manor, I'd love to visit. I'd love to visit, actually, and come round.
You really changed your tune.
Yeah.
Very
and join our Patreon.
There.
We've got a special tier just for you.
Fuckhead tier.
It's called the fuckhead tier. £1,000 a month. And I'll come round your house every month, call you a fuckhead, and scare you about a weird planning permission.
Do you know what? Somebody would love that.
Yeah. Oi, fuckhead! They're going to build a soft play centre in your garden. What? And now I just run away.
It's going to be real loud and there's going to be piss and shit.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to use your toilet.
Oh, no! So what is going on in this animal hospital then?
So let me tell you, sir, it's called Wren's Rescue. Wren being the bird. The one bit, so I'm on their side. The one bit where I'm like, all right, maybe you're pushing it just slightly, but I don't know, says the proposals for the expansion featured a manager's home. So you're like, okay.
Yeah.
As well as a reception and triage centre, fine, along with barns and enclosures for animals, including hedgehogs, water and garden birds, gulls and pigeons.
Yeah.
I think that's lovely. It's just the manager's home. You're like, hang about.
But it depends.
I guess you need somebody there around the clock.
But it's got a whiff of the old Captain Tom's daughter. I need a spa.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Officers stated there was no need for an on-site home and parts of the site were a risk of flooding.
Yeah, I think I can see both sides of this.
I can see both sides, I suppose. 303 comments were lodged in support of the plans, whereas there were 18 objections. Concerns about a large number of visitors are misplaced, as only centre staff and volunteers will be allowed beyond reception. There's also concerns about this being in the open countryside, but this land has been used for grazing for 30 years.
Yes.
You can see both sides, but I just feel in my heart of hearts, if an animal rescue centre needs to expand, let them expand.
I couldn't disagree more. I think if a country house needs to not have to look at a sickly little animal, don't make them.
Well, you sound like Mr. Kelly, the owner of the...
well, we're cut from the same cloth.
He says, please, please don't be fooled by the animal sanctuary. This is a front for development and it will open the floodgates.
What a quote to have attributed to you. Don't be fooled by the animal sanctuary. What a heartless...
Don't you dare be fooled by the rescue centre. Yeah. He said as well, which is interesting, he said, it'll impact woodland that's been untouched for hundreds of years. I've lived at Whitehall, the country house, which is 200 years old for 10 years. And he says, and I've put it back together from flats into one home.
I've got no sympathy for you. I've been here for 10 years making loads of houses into one big house for myself.
I tell you what I did. I came here 10 years ago. I chucked all them families out. Said, get out. I want all of your houses for me. And I tell you what, I like injured animals and I want them parading round. I want to see foxes limping.
Why does he
on
think
my
anyone's
estate.
Got sympathy for him?
It's my responsibility and duty to protect something that is unique and outstanding. This is a hideous development.
Well, you seem like a unique and outstanding piece of shit, mate.
My favourite mode of transport, a gravy boat.
Ian, please, yes. You must put us out of our misery. What the hell's been going on in Goole?
Well, this story, it might be a bit of a brief one. It sounds more edgy than it is.
Okay.
Police in standoff after gun spotted at house before they cracked on to what was going on. So they were called on Christmas Day following reports that somebody had a gun. Big serious story. But it turned out that this man was pretending that the toy gun was real. It was a toy gun with a bit of a vacuum pipe attached to it.
Oh.
Maybe to make it look like a silencer. Like an assassin level.
Wow.
Operation here.
But it's a grown man playing with it.
Yeah. At 4 p.m. and it was perhaps dark.
Yeah.
It says so they didn't see fully what was going on. But Judge Mark Berry, I don't know if this is the...
I hope it's the judge. Get over it. That's it. Get over it. Get another job.
He said the defendant had a toy plastic gun with a vacuum pipe attached to make it look like it was a firearm. Eventually the police cracked on that it was not a weapon at all. The police were under anxiety for a while. Such a weird way of phrasing it. But then he just says, yeah, he's just repeating himself, Martin Bury, this time. You caused a lot of anxiety. You thought you had a firearm in your house. And then I imagine the further we go down, potentially the more sad, real elements that will come in. But, smoking a bit of the wacky tobacco. He's looking for a fresh start in Selby.
Yeah.
He acknowledges at 42 he needs to put this behind him. So I would say pretty positive end here.
But what was he doing then? So he was in his house playing with it.
Yes.
Is that the verb we're going for, playing?
I think he wanted people to think he had a gun.
Oh.
So he's like,
But in his house.
In the comfort of his own home.
What,
do you not pretend you got a firearm?
Is he doing it like in front of the window? Like, how do you imagine this?
I don't know. It was visible. I reckon behind a curtain and doing it like a silhouette, like in Home Alone.
Oh, yeah.
He has also repeatedly attacked someone's car with a mallet.
Okay, yeah. He's on a journey.
Yeah, he's on a journey. Look, life has peaks and troughs. This guy's got a genuine mallet and a fake gun.
Yeah.
And he's expressing himself. And look, there's not a lot that goes on in
himself.
Goal.
Are you his lawyer?
Yes.
Okay.
I would like to say that my client was expressing himself.
Yeah.
And you ain't got anything on him. It's not real.
Have you seen the the Peep Show episode where Mark and Jeremy end up with like an old service rifle.
Don't think I remember.
They call it Gunny. And they're just like, my go with Gunny, and they're just like sort of holding it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Maybe he was a Peep Show enthusiast.
Well, when I went to Slovakia, I nearly went to a Kalashnikov range.
Fucking hell.
I think it, you know, it might be fun to hold a Kalashnikov for a bit.
Kalashnikov sounds like a kind of sword. Yeah. Like a sort of curved sword. Mm. So so if everyone could just change that word to mean sword now, because I've, in my head, I've associated it with a sword, like a machete.
It sounds like something you'd shout while attacking someone.
Yeah.
Kalashnikov!
Hey, that's good, yeah.
Mm. And not a lot of weapons sound like that.
Sawn-off shotgun! Yeah. I'm coming at you with a sawn-off shotgun.
Sounds pathetic.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Pistol! Yeah. Kalashnikov's my favourite weapon.
It's a good word.
Sounding well. Yeah. Oh, no.
Go on.
Bazooka.
Oh, yeah, that is good. But I always think that Veruca, whenever I hear that.
Yeah,
so if someone's just like, if you don't give me your money, I'm going to go and get a bazooka. And in my head, even if I was absolutely terrified, as soon as they said bazooka, my head would go, that Veruca. Bazooka, that
Veruca. What are you going to do, get rid of my Verucas? I'm not scared of this.
Dead immediately. Yeah, I guess the Verucas would go.
Yeah, if your body explodes on impact of a bazooka, you don't have any Verucas.
Or I guess you would until your feet decompose. This is too dark, isn't it?
Well, but that's what ghoul does to you. I'm afraid that's the news in Ghoul this week. Have you ever had a Veruca?
I don't think I ever have had a Veruca.
Really?
I had
Verucas when I was a kid.
I always
times.
Wanted one because when you'd go swimming with school, you didn't have to do it if you had a Veruca.
Mm. I hated it, getting a Veruca.
What's it like? The word Veruca's lost all meaning now. It sounds like a lady's name. Veruca Salt. It is a lady's name.
It is, yeah.
Veruca Salt. What does it feel like? Is it like a blister or like...
I guess it's... fucking... Thanks for listening, everyone. Just describe a Veruca. It's... Yeah, I guess it's almost like a wart type thing.
Is it? No, I've never had one of them. Mm. I've had... I got athlete's foot at Leeds Festival when my feet
got
too wet.
Can I just quickly say, thanks for listening, everyone. If you want to stick around for the last 2 minutes, just going to be talking about Amy's athlete's foot. You got athlete's foot?
Or trench foot. Is that the same thing? What's the one where your feet get too wet?
I think that's trench foot.
I think I got trench foot.
Well, have a think. What one is it when your feet get too wet? What do you commonly associate with either being in a trench or being an athlete? Oh, if you're an athlete, yeah, your feet are always wet, aren't they?
You could be a synchronised swimmer.
Yeah. Thank well, sometimes they're popping the feet out of the water.
Oh, yeah, drying them off quickly so they don't get trench foot. Stick out the water, wang them around, dry them off, back in the water,
people
we're
going,
all
that's
right.
That's beautiful. Synchronicity there. Like, yeah. No, we're just trying to dry our feet.
Yeah. I don't want to get trench foot. Mm. Like Amy Gledder at Leeds Festival 06.
Well, message in. Have you ever had trench foot or a Veruca? And we'll read them out on the pod.
We'll do a special ep on foot disease.
Yes, the foot disease ep coming up.
Coming up. You've all been asking for it. We've been wanting to do it for a long time. What else you got? Corns, bunions. It's all happening.
Yeah.
Thank you for persevering. If you've made it this far, well done.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. Of course, join our Patreon. There's much less foot stuff on there, actually.
Yeah. You think there'd be more, but there's less.
There's less. We are proudly the only podcast to do less foot stuff on our Patreon.
And we'll never change.
Thank you so much for listening. And thank you to our special guest, Sophie Hagen.
Copenhagen's Hagen.
Why not?
And they're on tour. And releasing a book, and that's why it's a fucking book tour.
There you go. It's a book tour, it's a stand-up tour, and it's called Will I Ever Have Sex Again? A question, I don't know if you've thought it, Ian, I think it every day.
Every single day, even
every
if you've
day,
had sex that day.
Even if I'm having sex, I'm thinking, this has got to be the last time, hasn't it? Surely.
We've got to put a stop to this.
Nobody's letting me do this again. Come on. Get tickets for that and also listen to the podcast.
The Help Hole.
The Help Hole. And we will be back next week. See you then.
See you soon.
Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, everyone. It's Ian Smith here from Northern News, the podcast you are currently listening to. And I'm here to tell you that I'm recording my multi-award-nominated solo show, Crushing, on Tuesday, the 4th of June at the Pleasance Theatre in London. But I'd love to see some Northern News listeners there. We're recording this show. It's going to live online forever. So the more supportive a crowd, the better. Hope to see you there.